Bible, we couldn't have church. You know that? We have to have the Word of God, amen? Hope you understand when you come to church, it's not the pastor's opinion that counts. It's not the deacon's opinion that counts. It's not the church member's opinion that counts. It's God. And what He says that counts, amen? And if we didn't do any better than just stand up and read the Word of God, we did really good. And I hope you understand, sadly, today, and I've seen this, it's unfortunate. There are a lot of people who are actors who stand in front of people on Sunday mornings. They call themselves churches, but they put on an act. I'm not here to act for you. I just want to explain some Bible to you today. Amen. And we're going to look at a man today whose name is Herod. And his problem is that he has made himself the most important person to the point to where he even is willing to behead a man that God called the greatest. His name's John the Baptist. And Herod is responsible for the death of John the Baptist. We're going to see that today. He has a name which is a little bit confusing because in the Bible, there's more than one Herod. It's sort of like the name James or the name Mary. When you see the name James or Mary in the Bible, you ask yourself, which one? And when you see the name Herod, sometimes the Bible tells us exactly who it is. Sometimes it does not. This man is called a tetrarch. You've never heard of such a thing. A tetrarch is somebody who rules a quarter, one-fourth of a region. And in remember now, Israel, when Jesus was walking in the face of the earth, Israel was controlled by Rome. They had conquered Israel, and Israel was subjected to Roman rule. They paid taxes to the Romans. They had to do what the Romans said to do. And Herod was one of the rulers in Israel at that time. He ruled up north, and in fact, he had a quarter of the empire or of the nation of Israel as his area. And he had been married to a lady. I do not know her name. You probably could look that up if you wanted to. But he decided, rather than being married to her, he would prefer to be married to his brother. His brother had a wife named Herodias, and he wanted to be married to her instead. And so what Herod the Tetrarch, we also call him Herod Antipas, that's neither here nor there, but Herod left his wife and took Herodias, who was his brother's wife, and made her his wife instead. And folks, God says that's wrong. John the Baptist, who was a man of God, said that's wrong. You can't do that. God said it's wrong. Now listen to me. I have opinions. You have opinions. The world has opinions. When God says something's wrong, that settles it. Amen? And God's intention is for men and women to be married and stay that way their entire life until they step into eternity. And Romans 7 says that when you die, that you're free from that bond of marriage. But until then, you should stay married. And so when Herod left his wife, Herod Antipas left his wife and married Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. John said it's wrong. And Herod's response was, throw John in prison. Why was he doing that? He was trying to keep John from preaching the Word of God, especially when it applied to him. Folks, you can't lock this book up in a jail. You can't lock God up in a prison. God, what God says stands. You can ignore it. You can disregard it. You can try to stop it. You can do anything you want to. But when God said it, that settles it. Amen. So the story goes a little further. What happened was Herod, after he married Herodias, he locked John up in prison. He wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people. I'm going to read this all to you in just a minute, by the way. He wanted to kill John. He wanted to have John executed, but he was afraid of the people. So a plot, a scheme was formed. Herodias had a daughter. Obviously, I don't think it was Herod's daughter, probably Philip's daughter. Herodias had a daughter, and she danced at some party or something. And Herod, the man that was about to behead John, Herod said, you know, she was so impressive or whatever that he told her, he said, you can have anything you want. And she said, I want John the Baptist's head in a charger. Now, that was because her mother, Herodias, had told her to say that. Somebody had a plan going, didn't they? There was some conspiracy there. Herod, because he was not willing to be embarrassed after making that promise, a bunch of his friends heard him make the promise, and so Herod had John's head cut off. Now, don't you worry about John. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. And don't you worry about John, because the Bible says it's a great honor to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. To die for God is a great honor. And folks, the minute you step into eternity, if you're a Christian, the pain ends, the suffering ends, the persecution ends, the burdens and trials all end, and you are with Jesus for all eternity in heaven. It's a great place to be. So they didn't do a thing to hurt John. They took him out of this world but sent him on to the next. Herod, on the other hand, what happened to him? I'm going to tell you the story, then we're going to read it, and I'll show you a few things, and we'll be done. Herod, after he sent John to be beheaded, sure enough, they brought the head and gave it to this girl, and how wicked is that? A couple of years later, Pilate was being forced to examine the Lord Jesus Christ because the Jews falsely accused him. And I'm pretty sure it's the same Herod got involved in that as well. And here's what he did. He mocked Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. Now, I tell you all that to say this. It's one thing to die and go to hell, and that's as horrible as you can possibly imagine. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to understand something. The Bible says that hell is a lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever. It says the fire is not quenched, and it says the worm dieth not. And when you go to hell, you're there for all eternity. Someone says, I don't believe that. Yeah, that's your choice. But God said it's true. So you can discuss that with God someday. But it would be especially horrible to go to hell having had the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and having rejected that. In other words, it's one thing to go to hell. It's another thing to go to hell when you could have gone to heaven. And by the way, anybody can. So how do you do that, Pastor? Well, you're going to have your sins forgiven, and you're going to do that by believing the gospel where Jesus died to pay for your sins. Amen? Well, Pastor, that sounds pretty complicated. It's really not complicated at all. If you're here today and you're a sinner and you know it, you can ask Jesus and he'll save you. 100%. He promised that. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Herod, near as we can tell, never did that. The end of his story, just for curiosity's sake, is about 6 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, Herod was accused of a conspiracy. You've heard of Caligula? Caligula banished Herod and Herodias to Spain, and they died there in exile and in obscurity. And the day they died, the Bible says, they lift up their eyes in hell. Let's look at Herod a little bit closer today. Are you there in Matthew chapter 14? I want to read this story to you, and we'll have a word of prayer and see a couple of things about this man. Some mistakes he made that we can avoid. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently in Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says in Matthew 14, 1, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. And he said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison, for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king, as Herod, was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning. It's such a blessing to be here with your people. It's a blessing today to have sung wonderful songs, How Great Thou Art, to hear redeemed, to have a Bible, to have a nation to where, unlike places like China, we can meet today and not have to be afraid that the police are going to come and arrest us, toss us into jail because we believe in Jesus instead of in the Communist Party. Lord, today I thank you that we have that freedom and that comfort to be here and to worship you freely. God, I pray that we would appreciate that privilege and not take it for granted. Lord, we should be in your house as often as the doors are open. God, I pray for each one here today. Lord, I do not know how you would like to use this passage to speak to these people, but help me to present it accurately and to show them the things that the Bible says, and I pray the Holy Spirit would work. If there's anybody here that does not know that they are saved, that when they die, that they'll go to heaven and not to hell, Lord, help them today to believe what you said, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, Lord, for those of us that have already done that, help us to see some things that might make us better Christians, better servants for you, make us better people that would represent you on this earth. We ask you to be with those that can't be here today and comfort them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Wouldn't want to be in that category of people like Herod or Judas Iscariot who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, or even modern-day characters like Stalin or Hitler who are responsible for the deaths of literally millions of innocent people. But I wouldn't want to be the man standing before God one day trying to explain why I beheaded John the Baptist. And that was not necessary that he stand before God guilty like that. Folks, Jesus can save anybody. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that your sins and mine are not greater than the blood of Christ? The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. You know, we once in a while, we take a garment that maybe has a stain on it, and we put it in the laundry, we wash it, we come back, and the stain's still there. And you put some stuff on it, and you wash it again, the stain is still there. Folks, the stain of your sins can be cleansed with the blood of Christ every time. Amen. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. I know what Jesus' blood can do. Amen. Herod could have been forgiven, but he was not. What I want to look at with you today, though, is some things about Herod that we might make mistakes of the same caliber in our life if we're not careful. And I'll show you two or three of those. Let's look back in Matthew chapter 14 again, if you would. And just a couple of things you see about Herod. First of all, what was this man like? He heard of the fame of Jesus. And it's one thing to hear, it's another thing to believe, isn't it? You can know who Jesus is, but not trust him as your Savior. Do you know who he is? Amen? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Herod knew that Jesus was an amazing man. In fact, Herod was guilty about having taken John the Baptist and have him beheaded. And Herod says here in verse 2, he says, well, this is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. You see, as Herod understood something, when you're guilty, it just stays with you. And Herod, when he laid down at night to go to sleep, he's thinking, I beheaded John the Baptist. And he knew John was innocent. He knew John had done nothing wrong. But he took his head anyway because that's how much he disregarded the word of God. And he says, I think what's happened here in verse 2 is that John the Baptist has risen from the dead and that these works that are being done by him. No, Jesus is better than John the Baptist. But Herod was a guilty man. He knew guilt. It's one thing to know guilt. It's another thing to be free of guilt. Now listen to me. When Jesus died to pay for your sins, he paid for all of them. Amen. When you stand before God one day, if you are saved, the Bible says when you stand before God as a saved person, that God will see righteousness because you have the righteousness of Christ. Amen? Amen. When Jesus hung on that cross, what God saw was your sins. All of them. All of your sins have been taken care of if you are saved. That's a good feeling. We haven't got to stand before God and answer for our sins. Jesus paid for our sins. When you are judged in eternity, you are not judged to see if you're innocent or if you are guilty. If you're saved, God has declared you not guilty. The word is justified. But if you are saved, when you stand before Jesus one day, you will be judged according to your works for rewards. It's sort of like when you go to the, when I was in high school, I wasn't much of an athlete, but I used to compete in what they call forensics, which is public speaking. And we would have all sorts of competition with other people. And at the end of the competition, we would all gather in a big auditorium and they would say, first place and such an event goes to so-and-so. Because you got a ribbon because you'd performed the best in that particular area. It's a reward for what you have done, not a judgment for what sin you have. Folks, when you stand before Jesus, will you have some things to be rewarded for? Yes. Amen. Amen? Hope so. Have you witnessed to somebody? Have you ever invited anybody to church? Amen. Have you ever prayed for somebody to be saved? Have you been faithful to God's house? All these things are commendable and God will reward you for them. And the reward will be according to what you've done in this body, the Bible says. You're not going to see Herod on that day. Herod's judgment is not going to be a judgment for rewards. Herod is guilty. He knew it. He did not do anything about it, even when he got a chance later to see Jesus in person. He had tried to stop the word of God from being preached by putting John in prison. How do you feel about the Bible? Is the Bible a book that you love, that you want to hear, that you like to live by? Or is the Bible a book that points out what's wrong with you and you push it aside and do what's wrong anyway? You know why some people don't read the Bible? They don't like what it says about them. The Bible says it's like a mirror. You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror and you see yourself and you go, oh, I'm getting old. And I need to comb my hair. And I need to do some other things and plastic surgery. I don't know. I need to get some things done here because this is not good. But the Bible does the same thing, doesn't it? Amen. Does the Bible show you? The Bible says, thou shalt not, and you did. And now there's a problem, isn't there? Amen. The Bible's like a mirror. Some people say, well, I'm just going to live the life I want. And they don't read their Bible. Old famous saying, don't know who said it, but I think it was probably Moody, said, either this book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. So what did Herod decide? He did not like John's preaching the word of God. Let's lock him up. Well, the funny thing is, you can try as hard as you want. You can't lock up God's word. And the very same time that Herod had John locked up, Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And sadly, Herod never did believe that. So Herod was a man that tried to limit the word of God. Herod was a man who, look at verse 5, his conscience did not control him, his fear of people did. Look at that verse. Now listen to me carefully, at verse 5. He would have put John to death, he would have put him to death, but he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. What is that saying? Now listen to me. Hurry up, Joey. Come on back. I got to preach to you, brother. What is that saying? You know, there's some of us that we do what we do because of what people think of us. And Herod was just that way. John told him the truth. He didn't care about that. He didn't want to hear that. But when people said, well, we don't like what you're doing, or we don't think you're who you say you are, or whatever, when people criticized him, that bothered him. You know, there's some young people here today. Now listen to me. There are a lot of wicked people in the world. And they'll come to you and they'll say, hey, and Proverbs talks about this, by the way, Proverbs chapter 1. They'll come to you and they'll say, hey, come be wicked with us. We're gonna do some mischief. We're going to steal some things. We're going to break some things. Why don't you come do some things with us? The wise man will say, no, I don't care what you think about me. I'm going to do what's right. Amen. Teenagers here today, let me tell you something. If a wicked person comes to you and says, come get in trouble with me, just tell them, you know, I'd rather spend my time with Jesus than with you. Amen. I'd rather do what Jesus said than what you said. And they're going to laugh at you and they're going to mock you. That's okay. Jesus is going to applaud. Amen. When Paul was there, when Stephen was stoned, remember the story in the book of Acts? If you don't remember, I'll tell you quickly. Stephen had preached and the Jews hated the message. And so they were going to stone him. And Paul, the apostle, before he was an apostle, his name was Saul. Saul was there watching. But the Bible says this. Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God the Father. What's so unique about that? The Bible gives Jesus a place of sitting at God's right hand. But when they were stoning Stephen, Jesus stood up and took note. And he was looking on. I want you to know something, young person, older person. When somebody says, come be wicked with me, and you say no, they may laugh at you, but Jesus stands up and takes note. Amen. And by the way, the worst thing they can do to you is send you to be with Jesus, and that's not very bad at all. Amen. I want to tell you something. Listen to God. Amen? Amen? Herod was afraid of what people thought. He said to himself, now, I can kill John, it's no problem, which is murder, by the way. John was innocent, but his conscience didn't control him. His opinion of people and what they thought of him, that's what controlled him. Don't let people's opinion run your life. By the way, simple principle. If you do what's wrong, if you do wicked things, there are some people that they'll think that's great, and they'll pat you on the back and say, yeah, you're one of us. But if you do what's right, there are some Christians that will pat you on the back and say, thank you for doing what's right. And which side do you want to be on anyway? Let's be on God's side, amen? I don't want to stand before Jesus one day and say I was wicked because I was afraid of what men thought of me. His conscience didn't limit him. He made foolish decisions on the spur of the moment. Look in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 7. He promised this girl, Herodias' daughter, with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. That was a foolish thing to do. He got caught. The plan was already in effect. Herodias had told her daughter ahead of time, when you dance for him, if you impress him enough, he's going to make an offer to you. You ask for the head of John the Baptist in a charger, or on a charger. It's a charger's a big plate. And Herodias had planned this with her daughter already. Herod was just being used. Listen to me carefully. When you sin, when you do that wicked thing, when you go with those other people and do the wicked thing that they do, the devil's just using you. The devil's just trying to get at God. You say, I'm a Christian, and Jesus died and paid for my sins, and then you go off and you live for the devil, or you do something the devil wants you to do, he's just using you to get at God. He's doing the same thing Herodias did. The devil's just trying to get you to dishonor God so the devil can point his finger at God and say, look what that Christian did. Look who they are. They say they're a Christian, but look what they do. Folks, don't give the devil that opportunity, amen? Instead, do what God wants you to do, and the devil won't get any joy out of that. Herod was a man that made foolish decisions. His morals were out of sorts. He did not understand what was right and wrong. He wanted to impress others with his power, and he did his wicked deeds behind closed doors. Look at verse 10. It says, he sent and beheaded John in the prison. When the day came that John died, I don't even think Herod was there. He sent somebody else to do his dirty work. And he did that because he was ashamed of what was happening. Now listen, we're almost out of time. Watch this. This is not hard. First of all, let's just think about Herod's opinion of Jesus. Herod heard of what Jesus did, and he said, I think this is John the Baptist. It wasn't John the Baptist. It was the Son of God. You know what's very important for you today? You need to know who Jesus is. Amen. Somebody says, well, Jesus is a good man. Much more than that. Someone says, well, Jesus is one of many prophets. Oh, much more than that. Amen. Someone says, Jesus is one of many gods. That's just a foolish lie. There's one God. The Bible makes it very clear. Amen. Someone says, well, Jesus is just like the rest of us. He sinned and he had to be saved. You think nobody's that foolish, but I'll tell you, there's an entire church that believes that. Listen to me, who Jesus is? Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. He is God in the flesh. We sang a song earlier today and we had the phrase Emmanuel in it. And that phrase Emmanuel is mentioned in Matthew. It means God with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is Jesus? Not just a prophet, not just a good man, not just an example. He is one of a kind. He is the Son of God, virgin born, sinless, lived a perfect life, and was crucified, died, buried, rose again the third day to pay for your sins and mine. That's who Jesus is. Make sure you know who Jesus is. You got to have the right Jesus to be saved. How's your conscience? You know, I was watching this show about detectives that investigate murders. Old cases that are decades old. They're trying to find out who killed somebody 10 or 20 years ago. It's one detective, more than one, says this. One thing you can be sure of is murderers have a conscience and they feel guilty. And they want to get it off their conscience. And they're going to tell somebody because they feel guilty about what they have done. Now, I'm going to ask you a question right now. You think about this just a minute. As your life stands right now, if you look at your life right now, how's your conscience? How's your conscience right now? The Bible says if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. If your heart condemns you, there's condemnation to be had. But if your sins have been forgiven, there's no guilt. Amen? Amen? Now, Christian, maybe you're not right with God. That'll affect your conscience, won't it? Do you know every single time Herod went to bed, he thought about, I beheaded John the Baptist. When he heard about Jesus, he thought, I beheaded John the Baptist. For his entire life, that guilt stayed with him. Jesus can take away the guilt. He can take our sins upon him and give us his righteousness. Herod was a guilty man and he knew it. Herod was a man that made promises he couldn't keep, but and foolish promises. He was a man whose morals were based on his own preferences rather than on the Bible. When he decided to kill John, he had no right to kill John. John had done nothing wrong. But Herod, to keep this promise he made to his friends, killed John anyway. What governs your actions, the Bible or what you think or what people think about you? Someone says, well, it's just convenient. You know, if it goes against God's word, who cares if it's convenient or not? Amen? We should do what God says. And again, in verse 10, he sent and beheaded John, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it. Now look at this last phrase and we'll be done. In verse 12. And they went and told Jesus. Now listen to me. We're talking about the disciples now just for a minute. And when John was beheaded, his body, the world had done what they could to him and killed him. But the world couldn't take his soul, could they? And the minute that body died, John's spirit and soul went to be with God forever and ever. And when they went and told Jesus about this, first of all, Jesus already knew. But can you see what's happening there is, here are some men that in spite of everything that the world could do to them, or do to one of them, killing John, in spite of everything the world could do, They had somebody they could go to. Herod didn't have anybody he could go to. You and I do, amen?
Amen.
Have you ever thought about it? We heard a great message here a couple of years ago. Steve Harris preached the message, and the title of the message was, Did You Think to Pray? Or Did You Think to Ask, I think was the exact title. But the point was this. When you're looking around at things in your life and they're not what they ought to be, for whatever reason, trials, burdens, sins, whatever it might be, did you think to take them to Jesus? Amen? And here's an interesting thing, and we're done. None of this was a surprise to God. God knew what was going to happen. The day John was born, God knew how John's life was going to end. And the day that John's head was cut off, it didn't interrupt God's plan one bit. God knew about that all the way along. And John went off to be with God for all eternity. You'll meet him someday, amen? Herod, when he died, lift up his eyes in hell. There is somebody you can go to. If you're lost, Jesus will save you. Amen. If you're saved, Jesus cares. He cares about you. He wants to help you. He wants to change you. He wants to work in your life. He wants you to trust him. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't it great to be a Christian? I look at Herod and I think, what a man I wouldn't want to be. A guilty man, a confused man, a man that was his greatest hope for joy was to take his brother's wife instead of his own. Folks, the world is clinging to little straws and grasping for things to make them have joy. And God has given us eternal life. You just live here for a short while. And you live with him for all eternity. And I can spend my time, if I so choose, chasing this world's pleasures and chasing this world's joys and trying to impress wicked people like Herod and doing things that would get somebody wicked to say that I'm a great person or whatever. Or I can spend my life looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one day stand before him. And what's he going to say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Words Herod will never hear. Don't make the mistake of being like Herod, lost or saved. Two quick thoughts and we're going to close. If you're here and you're not saved, you're in the very exact same situation Herod was in. You are guilty and God will judge your sin. If you're here today and you are saved and you're living like Herod, you're wasting your life. The Bible says if you sow to the flesh, in other words, if you live for your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You're going to get nothing back from it. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. I have no doubt if you're saved that you'll step into eternity and be with Jesus forever and ever. But my goal as your pastor is for you to stand there and have rewards. And to be able to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hope that's what you want as well. Now, think about this. That cost John his head. But better to lose your head than to be like Herod.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, if I live for Jesus, it's going to cost me something. I got to give some things up. I can't have some of these friends I've got if I live for Jesus because they're wicked and they don't love Jesus. You can be like Herod or you can be like John. When John stepped into eternity, he had paid the ultimate price. He gave his life because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really think that's going to go unrewarded? I guarantee you, John will tell you, you'll hear it one day. You can ask him when you get to heaven. He'll tell you it was worth it. But Pastor, he had his head cut off. It was worth it. Amen?
Amen?
Now, God might not ask you to lose your life for him, but he does ask us to live our life for him. Amen? John stepped into eternity that day. We're still here. But just like John, we can give our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We can live it for him. Whether you die for him or live for him, make sure he's at the center. Let's all stand and pray.